That's okay. You can relax while I tell you a story. It starts in 1889, but it's really not that long a story. I want to tell you a little bit about how this church fits into the history of Unity. Most of you know the history of Unity. It was founded in 1889 by Charles and Myrtle Fillmore, who were a middle-aged couple in Kansas City. Their spiritual exploration led them to the power of thought, especially mind over body, and the power of prayer to heal. They did not start a church. They published a magazine, and they taught classes locally. As the school grew, they built a campus outside Kansas City called Unity Village, which is now 1,400 acres. It is its own incorporated town. It has a mayor, a zip code, and a fire truck. In 1929, they built a tower to hold a water tank. And because Missouri is pretty flat, you can see the tower for miles. So it became a landmark and a trademark for Unity. It is now on the National Register of Historic Places. So let me show you. Unity Village doesn't actually bend like this. It's a straight line. This is a really cool camera lens, though, because it allows you to see from one end to the other. The fountains are longer than a football field. And the tower, you can see, is the landmark of the place. Right here in the middle is the Bridge of Faith, which connects the two sides of the campus. So the fountains and the bridge were refurbished several years ago, and then it was the tower's turn, because it was literally falling apart. They had to put a chain link fence around it because chunks were dropping off. People were in danger. But no one wanted to tear it down because it's a Unity landmark. So an anonymous couple donated $3 million to refurbish it. And that only took care of the outside. More money was raised to build out the inside as a holistic healing center, echoing Unity's roots in the power of prayer to heal. That center is now called the Awaken Whole Life Center. So they just finished the tower and the health center, dedicated it last month on World Day of Prayer, and the tower is open again and busy, and there's more energy at Unity Village. Now, you can't see in this picture, but the base of the tower is encircled by a garden that has 12 sculptures representing the 12 powers. These quilts also represent the 12 powers. These were designed and made by teams of congregants before my time. The 12 powers are divine attributes that are hardwired into every human being. Charles Fillmore came up with this system. He wrote a book about it in 1930. And he used the stories of Jesus calling the disciples to describe the way the 12 powers are gathered into our divine wholeness. We'll talk more about that in a minute. Just know for now that the 12 powers are an important part of Unity's identity. In September last year, our contact at Unity Village asked whether our church would like to donate one of the 12 powers sculptures to go in this garden at the base of the tower. The board loved that idea, and we had to jump on it fast because the sculptures were just going like hotcakes. There were only four left by the time we heard about it. So from those four, we chose the power of understanding. Here is our sculpture. It hadn't been designed when we pledged to it. All 12 sculptures were made by a local artist in Kansas City, and all 12 are different. It says, "The Power of Understanding sculpture has been lovingly provided by the Congregation of Unity of Wimberley, Texas." So everyone from all over the world who goes to Unity Village will see our Power of Understanding sculpture. Here it is with the administration building in the background. And here it is in its larger setting. You can see the circular sidewalk. And each of the 12 sculptures has a little meditation spot like this with two benches. And I don't know if you can see that medallion in the sidewalk, but it has understanding carved into it. And so each one of the powers has a little place like that. So we are part of Unity Village now forever. The sculpture costs $10,000. Remember, it's a fundraiser for Unity. That's not just the materials. We as a church are paying for that with tithe money over 5 years. We've made three payments so far. Twice a year, we will send $1,000 as a tithe to pay down our pledge. And I know it might sound like a lot, but keep in mind, first of all, $1,000 is about half of 1 month's tithe. And it's tithe money. It is already designated to be given away somewhere. So it would not otherwise be spent in this church. And let's talk about this for a minute. We tithe where we're spiritually fed. 10% of the money that you give to the church is passed on as our tithe. We keep it in circulation, in the flow of giving and receiving. We practice what we preach. The board decides where the church will tithe every month. The board is 9 church members who were elected by you to represent you, and I'm a voting member too, so that's 10. Usually half the tithe goes to various Unity entities and half somewhere else. Where we tithe is reported in the newsletter every month after the board meets. And the board is always open to suggestions about where to tithe. Think of a person or an organization that feeds our whole church spiritually. We have tithed to speakers, musicians, even volunteers who went above and beyond. We also tithe where we see spiritual principle being practiced. So we tithe to community organizations. We fed a lot of children this summer while they were out of school, not getting their free breakfasts and lunches. And the board thought Unity Village certainly feeds our church as a whole. It keeps the global movement running. It provides us with daily word and silent unity, all the books of Unity teachings. It trains ministers and teachers at the seminary. We are constantly in the flow of giving and receiving with our world headquarters. So the board thought this sculpture would be a really cool thing to do. And we thought you would be pleased to have our church's name on it. But what we haven't talked about is the power of understanding itself, what it means, and what the powers are. So let's do that, because we haven't talked about these powers in a while. Charles Fillmore called them divine faculties. They've also been called attributes or abilities. They are a part of us. I like powers because they are aspects of our divine power, aspects of the whole. Now, studying the powers separately is kind of like taking a car apart and looking at spark plugs and carburetor and axles, which is interesting and useful, but they all have to work together. These powers create the whole human. We are using them all the time, mostly unconsciously. We can't not use them. They support whatever we do in our lives. So we use them for good, bad, and ugly. Like a table can be used for a warm family gathering, or it can be used to, I don't know, package bags of meth. I admit it, I was addicted to Breaking Bad. Humor can be used to entertain or to tease. The power of will, for instance, is the power to choose, and it can be used to make good or bad decisions. But we can't not use the powers. Now, you might be able to think of more or fewer than 12 powers. You might have chosen differently. I'm always surprised peace is not specifically one of them. But this was Charles Fillmore's system, and it's been taught in Unity for decades. Frankly, I don't recommend his book, 12 Powers of Man. It's pretty esoteric. There's an updated book called Power Up by Paul Hasselbeck. And remember Linda Martello Whitsitt, who was here about a month ago from San Antonio? Her next book, the one she's working on, is called Divine Audacity. And she says we live in divine consciousness by practicing these 12 powers. So I'm eager to see how she describes them. So let's go around and touch on each one before we talk about understanding. Faith, the ability to believe, to perceive spiritually, and have conviction. In unity, we distinguish between blind faith and understanding faith. Blind faith is the sun will come up tomorrow. Understanding faith is I know the earth is round and it's rotating and sunlight shines across it as it rotates. We know, we understand why the sun will come up tomorrow. Love is fairly obvious, but it's divine love flowing through us. That means we don't have to dredge up love for every other person from within ourselves if we can just be open to that divine flow of love. Strength is exactly that, endurance, perseverance. Wisdom originally was called judgment. It meant good judgment or discernment. Power, this is one of my favorites, the power to master yourself. It's the power of thought and words. It's power over our baser instincts and our negative thoughts. Unity's emphasis on positive thinking is the faculty of power, power over our thoughts. I've also heard it used as stepping into your power, standing in your divine authenticity. Imagination, we visualize, we conceptualize. Charles Fillmore said, true prosperity always starts with divine ideas. Every invention, every improvement starts in imagination, what could be. Understanding, we'll come back to it. Will is not force of human will, and it's not God's will. It's the ability to choose, to direct, to make decisions. Order ranges from personal tidiness to the divine order of the universe, the planets staying in their orbits, all things working together for good. Zeal, inspiration, and passion are divine qualities. Charles Fillmore said, I fairly sizzle with zeal when he was 94. Renunciation, letting go of what no longer serves us, like a tree dropping its leaves. This is the power to say no and to deny. Life to energize and enliven. It's the life force flowing through us, the divine essence that is each of us. These powers look at our divine identity from 12 different angles. So let's go back to the power of understanding. I know more about it now than when we chose it for this sculpture, and it turns out to be perfect for this church. Understanding is the intersection of intellect and spirit. It's your mind and your spirituality. It is the journey from head to heart. One of the things we love about unity is that we are not asked to have blind faith or to check our brains at the door. We get to use our minds. We get to ask questions and read and even argue and disagree. And we want to understand how things work, how prayer works, how principle works. This is why Fillmore talked about the science of prayer or Christian science. Christian science was a generic term until Mary Baker Eddy claimed it as her brand and told everyone else to quit saying it. She was something. But in the 1800s, they were talking about the science of spirituality. We still love to combine science and spirituality. Today, it's quantum physics. In Fillmore's day, it was Newtonian rationalism. He was all excited about electricity and radio. He would have loved the internet. He died in 1941. So science, in that sense, is a spiritual tool. We use it to understand the world around us and our place in it. Each power is represented by a disciple, and understanding is the disciple Thomas, doubting Thomas. He wanted evidence. He wanted intellectual proof this was the risen Christ. And once he got it, he believed deeply in his heart. That's how Fillmore describes understanding. This is from the little book I told you not to read. He says, intellectual understanding comes first in the soul's development. Then a deeper understanding of principles follows until the whole man ripens with wisdom. You forgive his masculine language. It was 1930. A lot of us have an intellectual understanding of principle of spirituality, and that's important because that's where it starts. Over time, though, it sinks in to become knowing. So understanding is also deep or intuitive knowing. Einstein said there are things we know so well, we don't even know how we know them. In that sense, understanding transcends and includes intellectual knowledge. It's both and. Intellect and spiritual knowing, or gnosis, G-N-O-S-I-S. So this is how Fillmore says, this is how he describes the dawning of understanding. He says, when we discover in ourselves a flow of thought that seems to have evolved independently of the reasoning process, we're often puzzled about its origin and its safety as a guide. In its beginnings, this seemingly strange source of knowledge is often turned aside as a daydream. Again, it seems a distant voice, an echo of something we've heard and forgotten. One should give attention to this unusual and usually faint whispering of spirit. It is not of the intellect, and it does not originate in the skull. It is the development in man of a greater capacity to know himself and to understand the purpose of creation. Understanding leads to awakening. It transcends and includes intellectual understanding. It's that journey from head to heart. So we start by knowing we are more than a body and an ego. Eventually we awaken to spiritual knowledge so deep that we don't even think about it. We just live it as Jesus did. It's a process. That deepening is the power of understanding. If you are on a conscious spiritual path, you are using the power of understanding to move forward. Now, each of the 12 powers can be under or overdeveloped. Underdeveloped understanding is someone who just doesn't get it. Usually they're pretty literal. Overdeveloped understanding might be a know-it-all who has an explanation for everything and loves to expound on it, who will not hesitate to tell you exactly what God is thinking and what God wants. Others who are overdeveloped think they understand things the rest of us just don't quite see. Do you know these people? They're just breathless with seeing God at work everywhere and synchronicities and miracles and signs and everything means something. That's overdeveloped understanding. We use these powers at different levels, often unconsciously, sometimes purely in the realm of five senses, sometimes at the level of personality or just thinking, and occasionally from our true nature or divine identity. In that elevated consciousness, the power of understanding is the ability to comprehend divine ideas, truth, principles, and laws. It is one of the ways we live as the Christ in the realm of the divine. Jesus called it the kingdom of heaven. If we could truly live into each of these 12 powers from the highest possible point of view, we would be in the kingdom of heaven. So let's take those thoughts into meditation. When we meditate, we become comfortable, relaxed, breathe deeply, and turn within. Often, the first thing we encounter within ourselves is gratitude. Gratitude to be on this human journey. Gratitude to be part of this spiritual movement. Gratitude for whatever level of awakening we've achieved on our best days. And gratitude for the awareness of our divine identity. When we turn within, we encounter the God within us and realize we are never separate from it. This God is the ground of being, all that is, and the truth of who we are. And as we live into our true nature, we find ourselves expressing these divine faculties of love and faith, order and wisdom, will and zeal, and understanding. Understanding is knowing that we live within a system of spiritual laws, that we have divine powers, that we are what Jesus was, an expression of God on earth. So for just a moment, contemplate your own powers, the ones you use most often, the ones you haven't yet developed, and feel into your own divine identity. We are grateful for this deep understanding, for this ultimate knowing of who we are. And so it is. Amen.